fans, how you doing? I forgot where I was for a second. It's your boy John of the Backery with you for another episode of NBA Takedown here on the first Monday in January. You know what that means. It is time to put all 30 NBA teams into tiers. But before we do that, before I introduce my esteemed panel here today, a reminder, if you're digging the show, if you like what we're doing here, be sure to follow NBA Takedown on YouTube as well as wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to save my special introduction for Sean for a minute from now. So I'm going to say hi to Jeff first. Jeff, how was your final football regular season Sunday?
Well, I fell asleep during the fourth quarter of Sunday Night Football, and I woke up to Bruce Beck and Jameis Winston having the one of the greatest Jameis Winston sit downs I think I've ever seen. You know when you used to watch TV and then at 2 o'clock late on like a Sunday morning, it would be like a mega church pastor sermon and it's like a infomercial to join their church. It was like that, but way more entertaining and way less indoctrinating. Like this dude, like it was 11:30 at night and I felt motivated and I'm like, bro, I got to go to bed. Let me take this up in the morning. Like that man is one of one. But then I caught the highlights and boy, I had to give my wife the stupid finish alert doctrine that if I fall asleep and the stupid finish alert applies, wake me up at all costs and be sorry tomorrow.
I think Jameis Winston should be a pastor and have a church.
He spoke on it, funny enough.
I would go to that.
He gave the most Jameis Winston answer to it, which made so much sense.
That's a good episode that we should do later is what NBA player should become a pastor and start their own congregation.
Anthony Edwards.
The first name that popped into my mind was Dylan Brooks, but I don't know why. I don't think that makes any sense.
He'd be a Sean, good
Sean with the W. Yes. It's good to see you in good spirits, Sean. How you doing today?
I'm fine. Happy New Year, everyone. This first Monday of 2026. And let us make this be the best Monday of your year so far. And this today will hopefully set the template for all the goodness and prosperity that you may look to achieve in 2026.
I mean, you're putting a lot on us here. We're a humble NBA podcast. Although, as I told you, I took inspiration from you as I start off 2026. I made a schedule for myself yesterday. So we're 3 hours into the schedule thus far. I'm sticking to it, so that's a great sign. Clearly, I'll do it all the way through December. And Jeff, you know what I did this weekend, Jeff?
Did you do the list? Did you write your goals?
I made SMART goals.
Nice. I love it.
You inspired me. You. Yeah, thank
Jeff,
you.
I watched Thursday's show, and Jeff is a very inspiring person. No, I'm serious. Like, so for example, and like this book, Atomic Habits, Jeff told me to read this book. And he told me this like 4 years ago. And of course, I scratched my ass and I didn't. And then I said, and I started and I didn't. And I started reading it, then I stopped, and I said, "You know what? I'll read it on a plane, on a plane ride." And then, of course, I get to JFK, and I go to the lounge, and I start drinking Manhattan, and I don't want to read anything. But I started reading this again. I am 90 pages in, and one of the things, and it ties back to what Jeff was saying about SMART goals, is that one, habits over goals, but also give yourself a little, what's the word I'm thinking of here?
Incentive?
Race?
An incentive. Oh. Yes, an incentive for completing something. Like, because so for me, I love to like do absolutely nothing. So I say, you know what, Sean? If you do this one thing on your list, then you can, you know, go BS on social media, whatever like that.
Okay.
And that has helped me like, okay, instead of, because it's so easy to dilly-dally. There's so many distractions, you know, with phones and television and children and spouses and whatever, and you know, so I do that, and that's kind of helped me like stay on course a little bit.
You talking about drinking a Manhattan at the airport bar reminds me of one of my SMART goals, which is to drink 7 or fewer alcoholic beverages a week.
Hey,
it's good. You like
that's
that?
Good.
Okay,
that's
good. We're gonna see how I do. I'm gonna report back. Just like. one a day.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
One a day. If I don't have any alcohol
conversations, right? After you come home from KFS construction, you sit down, you pop a cold one, and you watch Johnny Carson on TV.
Dude, Johnny Carson was on at like 11 o'clock.
No, right, right, right. Or the evening news and the game.
Exactly.
That's I ain't exactly mad at it, brother. I ain't mad. But look, hey, you start off small. You didn't say three. You didn't say four. You said seven because that's realistic. And then once you, if you want to minimize or you want to maximize, you go from there.
Excited to report back on that and some other smart goals as we go through the year. We have a big show. We have to group 30 NBA teams into tiers. So we're skipping the takeoff today. We're going right into our rankings. So unless Sean, did you have a take that you wanted to get off? Because I think you uploaded a tweet here.
I uploaded a tweet, but we can get when it comes time for you to shit on the Baltimore Ravens, we'll get to that tweet. Takeoff is, well, I just say one thing. And we could tackle it another time. Again, I watched Thursday's show and I saw how Jeff's passionate plea that like less games doesn't make sense. Less basketball's not good. And I actually wanted to throw my phone through the window because the season is too goddamn long in every single sport, every sport.
Quality. Okay. Well, you're a complete quantity. Sports nihilist then. I respect that.
Quality over quantity. And the only reason we play 82 games is because that's as many games as the owners could fit into a schedule to make the most money they could in the 50s and 60s. That's it. But that's another story for another day. We'll argue about it another time.
75% of the NBA history has been played under 82 games. You want to jettison historical records for the sake of perceived quality improvement?
Yes.
There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee.
There's always
God forbid you have to work through a season to win a title. God forbid.
It is a marathon, not a sprint.
I'm not saying the season should be 24 games, but just like this idea that we have to play 82 because shout out to Bill Simmons who said if the number one reason for keeping something is that's how we've always done it, then that's not a good reason to keep it.
Did he ask his amorphous Knick fans about that take, the Knick fans in his life, quote unquote? Did he ask them the amorphous people that he used to get takes off?
Jeff,
I'm gonna shut up so that we can get into the tiers.
Yes, you're triggered already. I'll derail
man. There's been too much propaganda this week.
There's been a lot of that propaganda floating around. This is gonna be a good episode because you guys are both feisty. Speaking of the Ravens, we're gonna give you a chance to get your Ravens take off right now because we have our Naomi, our intern backstage, to pop up right now. I could actually do it. Our tiers for today. That we are grouping all of the NBA teams into. We tried to do topical tiers. So given that the NBA or NFL regular season ended yesterday and the playoff field is set and the Super Bowl odds are set, I thought we might have a little fun and group all of the NBA teams into tiers based on NFL teams. And we start at the bottom, as we always do. And of course, that means the one tier dedicated to a team that did not make the NFL playoffs and thus has a 0% chance at winning the Super Bowl. And I had how many teams to pick from for this? 18 teams, right? 32 NFL teams, 14 make the playoffs. So I had 18. I picked at random. And the random team that I happened to land on was the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh my God.
I could have put a picture of their kicker in instead of the symbol that you see here on if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, but I decided to go with for the Raven. Sean has his head in his hands. Sean, did you still want to get that Ravens takeoff before we talk about the NBA?
Really quickly, I'll say this. The Ravens should have just lost to Green Bay last Saturday night and just put us out of our misery, but they didn't. And when they did, I tweeted, Ravens win, which means the following three things are going to happen. One, the Steelers are going to lose to the Browns because all the Steelers had to do was beat the Browns last week and they'd win the division. Then step two, the NFL will flex Ravens Steelers in week 18 to Sunday night, which they did. And then step three, the Ravens will get embarrassed. Ladies and gentlemen, you are here.
I gotta retweet this. How did I not see this? This is a bad job by me that I didn't catch this one.
But that's why I knew Sean wasn't all that tore up about it, because he literally predicted this exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But even so, you know, there's still a look. We're all sports fans. There's still a part of him deep down inside that he's not going to talk about right now. That was like, come on, guys, you could do it. Lamar's my guy.
So I will say that. So all week, people have been hitting me up about this game, and I actually said, like, I hope we lose because I want John Harbaugh. Because I want John Harbaugh on a pontoon boat sent out to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And I was like, if they win this game and get into the playoffs, then he might stick around. But to your point, I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got close to the game time. I was like, you know what? I don't want to lose to these clowns. So, you know, let's beat them. And listen, Lamar did his thing. I knew a lot of people in the third quarter had their Lamar takes in the drafts, ready to fire them, whatever. And as we lined up for the field goal, something inside of me just said, this should go in, but I know my football team.
I hope for your sake that, because again, I'm a concerned citizen and a friend of yours. I hope the Ravens hire a coach that really embodies winning and that can consistently raise both the floor and the ceiling of a team, which is why I hope they hire Tom Thibodeau. On that note, I know that would make you happy. Should we put some teams into the Ravens tier? So the Ravens, obviously this is our bottom tier in the NBA right now. I have a quick question for you guys. Yes. Little quiz, if you know the answer, if you looked at our rundown sheet, there are four teams currently who Basketball Reference gives a 0.0% chance to make the playoffs. Do you want to guess who those four teams are?
And I correct the answers rundown, can. So I'm going to guess.
What's that?
I don't know if Sean looked, but I didn't look.
So I didn't look. So
okay.
The Washington Wizards.
That is correct, Naomi. You could put the Wizards in the Ravens tier. Next. That's one.
Jeff, which I, you want to guess?
Yeah, I'm just firing up the standings real quick just so that I can remember. Hailing from the northern kingdoms of Sacramento, the Monarchs, colloquially known as the Kings.
That's correct. The Kings also go in the Ravens tier. There's two more. One of these should be easy.
Oh, the New Orleans Pelicans.
That actually wasn't the one I was thinking of, but yes, the New Orleans Pelicans also go in this tier. And then there's one more.
Indiana?
That is correct. So the Wizards, Kings, Pelicans, and Pacers all have a 0% chance to make the playoffs. We could put the Pacers in this tier as well. Next up, we have... There is another group of four that I actually think are worth talking about, a couple of these teams that have under a 3% chance to make the playoffs. And again, this is via Basketball Reference. And then there's a bit of a jump after those four. Do you want to guess the team that has a 0.4% chance to make the playoffs? I'll give each of you a guess.
0.4?
Yes, 0.4. Not 4%, 0.4% chance to make the playoffs. I'll give you a hint. It's a Western Conference team.
It's Utah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
We're good. We're putting Utah in this tier as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Lori. You could go here. And then the last team that I think warrants zero discussion is a team that has at least been interesting this year and contains an interesting player, an interesting rookie. And certainly I think is Anthony Davis the most interesting trade candidate in the league right now? Probably.
Intriguing.
Yes. Yeah.
Intriguing. Yeah. He's intriguing. I like that. Is the Dallas Mavericks. Coach Jason Kidd. Do you think Jason Kidd wishes he could have taken James Dolan's back?
I think he would have taken James Dolan's back.
He wanted to take James
Dolan's back. But you know, it was a fool's errand to reach out to coaches that were clearly under contract because nobody wanted to come there. Clearly it was a fool's errand. What plan?
Just throwing stuff against the wall. Okay. Well, you know. There's two teams now we actually have to have an earnest discussion about. Quick earnest discussion, but an earnest discussion. The first of those teams is the Charlotte Hornets, who Basketball Reference currently gives a 2.7% chance to make the playoffs. The Charlotte Hornets have fourth best offense in the NBA, and over the last 2 weeks have the third best offense in a league with not five teams, not 10 teams, 30 teams. And they've had some different contributors, but the guy that, look, he's gotten a lot of attention this year, but I just wanted to shout out rookie Con Knipple, current rookie of the year frontrunner in what has been a good rookie class. 80th percentile, according to Cleveland Glass, in usage rate, points per shot attempt, and assist rate. I'm going to give you the players who are meeting all of those marks. Kawhi Leonard, Jalen Johnson, Luka Doncic, Michael Porter Jr. coming up in a second. Keontae George, shout out to him. Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Austin Reeves, and then Con Knipple. Is this enough, Jeff Johnson, to put the Hornets up a tier, or should they be in this tier?
I mean, keep Carolinas together.
Okay.
Keep the Carolinas together. Because I feel the same way I felt about the Panthers, I feel about the Hornets. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I'd feel better about the Panthers than the Hornets.
Like, I mean, because there's only 17 games.
No. Should be 16, but, you know. Let's just add more. Yes. Let's add more. Let's go to 20.
That I agree with. There was no reason for 17. I mean, well, there was, but not a reason for the game.
Yes.
The Hornets are currently 4 games back of the Bucks for 10th, 5 games back of the Bulls for 9th. That's close enough for you, Jeff?
When it's the Bulls and them Hawks, and whatever's going to happen with Milwaukee, there's a shot. There is a shot because they're 3.5 back, 4 back of 10.
Well, they're 3 back in the loss column of 10. Okay,
look, anything can happen in the NBA, bro. Oh, that's just one team gets hot, one team gets cold at the right time, and you're telling me over 50 something games they just have to win 4 more than these teams. It's enough of a possibility to happen that I can't rule them out yet.
Listen, man, if you're the 12th best offense in the league, and I know this goes against the Eastern Conference is much better than you think point that might be the best thing to emerge from the show over the last 3 months. But if you're the 12th best offense and you play in the East, I think you belong in that tier. So let's bump Charlotte up to the Panthers tier, keep Carolina together. And then last but not least, discussion point, Sean with W. Mm-hmm. Your Brooklyn Nets. Who are, or who have, I should say, the last why do I not have, I didn't, did I not put any of my, oh no, okay. So the Nets, as everybody knows, have been one of the best defensive teams in the league over the last like month and change. They're very good in the month of December. Michael Porter Jr. is like, he was on that list that I just read. They're feisty, Sean. Is that enough for you?
See, I would put them in the Ravens tier because they're not going to win jack. But then again, they have the same record as the Hornets. But
this is what the Nets inspired. This is so appropriate. Anyway, continue.
Shout Naomi behind the scenes. I made a bet at the beginning of the season for the Hornets to make the playoffs at 10-1.
Okay.
So them being 4 games out of 10th gives me like, oh, they can make it, but I can't do that. And then look at the Brooklyn Nets and say they have no chance. So because they're feisty, we can put them in the Panthers tier because if they get like similar to the Panthers, if they were to get in, no one expects them to win anything.
Again, I just think because they're in the East, they deserve to be there. The last 2 weeks, the Brooklyn Nets have the 18th best point differential in the league, and they've been good. They've been feisty, which is more than I think anybody expects of them. So, we want to put Brooklyn in the Panthers tier.
Yes,
that's fine. Okay,
I like
that. Now we have some other easy ones, I think. I'm going to toss teams out in no particular order. I think this is where the Portland Trailblazers belong. Any issue with that?
Nope.
I'm not mad at that.
Okay. Portland Trailblazers, congratulations. Denny Avdia, you're having a great season, but this is where you go right now. And then one other Western Conference team who has kind of just kind of settled into being what they are, the Memphis Grizzlies at 15-20, hanging on to 10th place in the West. Jeff, good with you for here?
I like them there. I like them there.
And then as far as the other easy ones who definitely belong in this Panther tier, we should say, by the way, the Panthers made the playoffs, but they have like plus 2000 odds to win the Super Bowl. Is that like the longest odds for a playoff team ever to win the Super Bowl? That seems pretty long.
Of a playoff team, 20 to 1.
What were the Giants in 2007? Or the 2007 season? They might have been 10 to 1 or 12 to 1.
Maybe it was longer than 20. Maybe it was like 200 to 1. It's some absurd number. I had never seen a number.
I'll look it up.
Look it up. The other team I think belongs here definitively is the Chicago Bulls, who are perpetually Chicago Bullsing around, and are a game under 500, and are not inspiring much confidence in themselves. Any issue with that?
So I wonder, what do we consider the Steelers tier? Because I feel like the Steelers tier for me, well, we'll get to it, but I feel like
here's the difference. The Panthers tier is the team that technically is still alive, but they have no chance. Mm-hmm. The Steelers tier is a tier of teams that, like, you at least need to like give them a set. Like, Aaron Rodgers is there. They have a coach who has been there and done this. They have a little bit of tradition where they have, you know, it's been a while, but they have done some things in the playoffs before.
So I look at the Steelers as a team that is stuck in the middle. They're too bad to be, they're too good to be bad, and they're too bad to be good. And
that's fine. They also won their division.
Yeah. And at 9-8, right? And
still counts.
And because they're in a division of four teams. And I feel like that is the embodiment of the Chicago Bulls the last 5 years. Too good to be bad, too bad to be good. Like, who get to the play-in every single year and then do jack. Or maybe they got the play-in. That's why I'm with the Bulls. I'm kind of like, but I'm not going to fight it.
I should have chosen a different team instead of the Steelers then, because I forgot I had you on the podcast today.
I think having a Steelers tier is appropriate. I just, because there's a few teams that I got ready for the Steelers tier. It's just the Bulls. It's like the Bulls are kind of like in the middle.
The Bulls have a minus 3.7 net rating. They have a bottom 20 defense and a bottom 20 offense. not bottom 20. Bottom 10 defense, bottom 10 offense.
They are who we thought they were.
This is where they belong. Apologies to Bulls fans. Jeff, who else do you want to put here? Because I could make arguments for all the remaining teams to go at least a tier up. Is there anyone else you feel should be in the Panthers tier?
I'm looking right now. Let me look a second. Let me see who you got in there. Milwaukee?
So I thought about them.
Is Giannis too good to put them in that tier?
That was where my inclination was to go. Whether you put them here or not, because I think we're at the point in the season where this is like not based on how these teams are playing right now. This is what we think these teams actually are, right?
They are. What's between Pittsburgh and Carolina? Would that be the Titans? That would be the Titans.
Has to be a playoff team.
Yeah. The Titans are 3-14.
Team is between Pittsburgh. They're not the Eagles. I'm not going to disrespect the Eagles like that. It's the new year.
It's actually Green Bay.
Low key. Well, my geography would be a little bit off there, but yeah. You know what? Oh, funny. Green Bay and the Bucks. I see what you did there. I'm not going to argue too hard against the Bucks in Panthers versus the Steelers tier, because if they get in and they get the right matchup, I don't think they're going to win a title, but something could happen. Something could happen. If they make a trade, if they whatever, something could happen.
Then we need to put another team in the Panthers tier then.
So the only other team I think that you could, there are two other teams and they both play in the state of California. I think we could go either the Southern California team and that's the LA Clippers, or we could go with the Northern California team and that's the Golden State Warriors. Personally, I don't know that I would feel comfortable putting either of those teams in the Panthers tier because the Warriors are like, they're the Steelers. They're just good enough to be like, okay, they've been there. They have the pedigree, you know, oh, their best, you know, quarterback used to be great. Steph Curry's still great at. And then the Clippers have been playing so well the last few weeks. They're 11th in offense on the season. And then the last 2 weeks, they are second in overall net rating in the league.
They both belong squarely in the Steelers tier. And there's no doubt about it.
I'm fine with closing off the Panthers tier here then.
There's a team I want to put in the Panthers tier though.
Who?
If we're going to have the Bulls here, we should have the playing brothers next to them, the Atlanta Hawks.
We've talked so much. Have we talked more about Atlanta than any other freaking team on this podcast?
Detroit and Orlando up there. Especially Orlando.
I don't know. We did like a whole episode dedicated to the Hawks. Do you think it behooves the Hawks to trade? Or would the Hawks have a better argument for the Steelers tier if they traded Trae Young for a bag of basketballs?
No.
Ooh.
No.
That's the take.
Because, like, think about the Steelers tier. It's like, all right, they can make a run because they have Mike Tomlin and they have Aaron Rodgers. The Warriors can make a run because they have Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. The Clippers can make a run because they have Kawhi Leonard,
James Harden. Yeah.
The Hawks can make a run because they have Jalen Johnson. Like, no. Like, to your point, right now, no. They're in the Panthers too, for me.
And Jeff? Right now, if you assume that, and it's probably a good assumption because it is the State Farm NBA play-in tournament. If you assume that they would beat the Bulls in the 9-10 and then beat the winner of Heat Cavs, they'd be facing the Pistons in the first round. Do that we think correct. That that's a matchup that the Pistons handle easily? Like to the point where it's like, all right, your time is up. Our time is now.
You want to laugh? In that specific matchup, because the Pistons are, we'll get to the Pistons in a bit. Maybe famous last words because of who they play tonight. But because the Pistons are somewhat offensively challenged, I actually would give the Hawks a slightly better chance in that series if they had Trae Young. Because you figure maybe the Pistons can't punish a defense featuring Trae Young as much as some other teams would be. Meanwhile, without Trae Young, I don't think the Hawks offense has any chance to score against the Pistons.
Because you know what the flip side to that is, if they were in the 2-7 matchup, that would be against the Knicks, and I'm sure there'd be a bunch of people that would be horny to pick the Hawks because the Knicks are short. The quote unquote the heightists will come out. They'll tout the length and the range. And if Trae Young isn't there, then they would say, well, there's no one. Right. There's no one to hide. You know, that's why I'm saying, like, what's the, to me, that if you're saying there's too many what ifs to add for them to make a run.
Okay. Yeah.
Then that would be the differentiator between Steelers and Panthers.
Fine. Okay.
Because the Steelers have a what is Tomlin and Rodgers.
Yeah.
They don't have the what if is just if you win. Like.
All right. So the team that just whooped the Knicks the other night, goes in the Panthers tier. I don't know what that says. Nothing good. All right. Steelers tier in no particular order. So Hawks, Panthers go in the Panthers tier. They're our last team. We close that tier off. Steelers tier in no particular order. Toronto Raptors, yes?
I guess so.
Jeff
and I think we have the same consideration.
There has been a trade. I trade the Hawks for the Raptors, Panthers to Steelers tier?
You can't do that. The Hawks, sorry, the Raptors. No, all kidding aside, what do you think the Raptors defense ranks league wide this year right now? Jeff, what do you think?
That's a leading question, so I know it's like top 10.
It is. Sean, what do you think they rank?
I'll say seventh.
I was going to say seven also.
Fourth.
Ooh.
The Toronto Raptors have now their offense over the last 2 weeks has or recently has been poo-poo. They have fallen all the way to 19th in the league in offense. That's not great. But like fourth best defense, man. Again, it's the same argument where with the Hornets. You have a borderline top 10 offense, you play in the East, you get the benefit of the doubt. You have a top 5 defense, you play in the East. For me, you get the benefit of the doubt.
I like that. Like, I'm not going to argue. Like, the Hawks low-key were like a coin flip for me for that. And the Raptors, they're 21-15. You got to respect the record and what they've shown so far.
Okay. All right,
put them in the Steelers tier. That's fine.
Raptors go in the Steelers tier. Clippers, I'm not putting them higher than this. They're still 12-22. Clippers Agreed. Go in the Steelers tier. Warriors, Steph Curry, congratulations on a wonderful career. I hope you get one more play-in run? I don't know. What is the reasonable expectations for the Warriors this year? You got Steve Kerr out there talking about this is our last hurrah. Like, we're not doing anything.
I was just about to say, it's sounding very last dance-ish.
Yeah, except not same expectations. Yeah. What's after the last dance? Like,
it's not the waltz, it's the Macarena. That's what it is. That's their last dance.
No, man, it's going to...
Because they would face the Thunder in the first round.
Yeah, no, it's not good. All right, Warriors go in this tier. Okay, Bucks go in this tier.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I don't... So there is a team I'm looking at of our remaining teams.
I know what you're talking about.
I bet you don't. I bet you don't because I always have a lot of respect for this team.
Oh, we're talking about the same team. We're talking about the same team.
Miami? So here's the thing with Miami. Miami at this point is over the last 2 weeks, they've gotten back on track. They have the sixth best net rating in the league, again, over the last 2 weeks. That's pretty good. They also have the third. I said the Raptors had the fourth best defense in the league. The Miami Heat, third best defense in the league. Is that not enough to get them into like this team could add? Okay, here's the question. Jeff, the Miami Heat are in a game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals for the right to go to the Eastern Conference finals. How shocked are you going to be?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked.
Is that not
given,
our
given
answer?
Given how everything could line up? What?
I wouldn't be shocked either because
I wouldn't be shocked. I would be shocked if the standings held and the first round matchup they have holds. I'd be shocked. I would be more shocked. Past that, I really wouldn't be.
Listen, they are the Heat are in a tie with the Magic for the sixth seed. They are
Magic have been struggling a bit, by the way.
They are they're a half game out of fifth. If they were in a 4-5 matchup with Toronto, I'm picking Miami. And then, to your point, it's game 6 live from Kaseya Center against the Detroit Pistons. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like,
for those reasons, I wonder if it would not be disrespectful to put the Miami Heat in this tier.
No, they should be in the Steelers tier.
Yeah, I put them there. Put them there for sure.
So even with all that being said, you want to put Miami in this tier. Okay, yeah. That's fine. I just wanted to make the case because they've been playing good ball. So let's put Miami here as well. So if Miami's in this tier, then there's probably a few more that need to go in here. Or maybe not.
Sure, okay. sure about that? Oh, actually, okay. You know what? There's one team specifically that should go in this tier.
See, now I'm thinking we should have had an extra tier because already, are you talking about the Suns?
Yep.
Okay. There is no universe where the Suns, playing as well as they have been playing, should belong in the same freaking tier as the Clippers and the Raptors. and the Bucks, who are what are those Bucks record?
16-20.
16-20. Just okay. Hold on. Before you laugh at me, and I know that's a, I know you're going
no,
to.
I'm not laughing.
The Suns last 2 weeks, fifth best team in the league by net rating. The on the year, the Suns have the ninth best defense in the league, and have the 15th best defense or 15th best offense in the NBA. They are top half of the league in offense and defense, and border and top 10 in defense. They're a real team.
So, you know what? If it comes down to what the teams are right now and not what the teams are going to be, then the Suns go in the Bills tier. Because to your point, if we're looking at their performance now, up to this point in the season, look, they're 21-14. They are the best argument for like the West being better than the East, because if they're in the Eastern Conference, maybe they'd be a little bit better. Like they're 7 games over .500 and they're in a play-in. But we all know Houston, Phoenix may win one playoff series. If they're lucky. So that's why they're kind of Steelers tier. But to your point, the other teams, but then again, Miami's in this tier, and Miami's 21, and they have a similar record to Miami.
How about if the freaking Heat, and I'm not putting them here yet, but if the Heat and the Suns are in this tier, you know who absolutely needs to be? Is the fucking Los Angeles Lakers, who at press time, despite their 22-11 record, have a negative net rating on the year. I got a good one for you. Jordan Goodwin. Not exactly a notable NBA figure. Guess what team Jordan Goodwin was on last year?
The Lakers?
The Lakers. And you had to struggle for a second because it didn't exactly play much. Mm. And they cut his ass to make room for somebody's son. Talking about knowing the right people. Jordan Goodwin this year is, with him on the court, the Suns are they're a little bit more than plus 4 points for 100 possessions on both offense and defense. He's one of six players in the league that we can make that claim about. The other ones just, of course, I closed it. It's a nice list. Like Evan Mobley's on the list. Lauri Markkanen's on the list. A couple other nice players are on the list. He's like the Suns, like seventh guy, eighth guy. They're a good team.
So you know what? Maybe we should have extra tier. So you screwed this up, Jonathan.
I screwed it up.
Because I guess there should be a tier between Bills and Steelers. Like a
49ers.
So
tier? Yes.
I have the question mark tier at the top above the Seahawks, because the Seahawks are currently the favorites to win the Super Bowl, which is like a little crazy to me, but because that was the former OKC tier, like they're in this tier by themselves. I left it blank because I didn't think anyone, including the Thunder, deserved to be in that tier based on how the Thunder have been playing over the last several weeks. They've had some losses. They've shown some chinks in the armor, so to speak. We could just basically amend it, and we could have the Bills tier be like the tier for like the Suns, the Sixers. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
I like Lakers. That. Okay. So then I'm going to make a judgment call. We're going to move Miami up. So let's move Miami up to the Buffalo Bills tier, along with Phoenix, the Lakers, the Magic. Come back down to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phoenix.
Phoenix or Orlando. So both of those teams. And then I think the Sixers. I think those would be the and the Cavs.
Yes. That's a good call. Forgot about Cleveland.
Well, you forgot about them because they've been quietly humming along. I know they lost to Detroit yesterday. Very close to being top 10 in offense and defense right now is Cleveland.
Surrounding.
Which is why I was kind of saving them for a later time. And the Sixers belong in this tier. Shout out to the Sixers, doing a great thing. They're a great story. Vijay Edgecombe is awesome. We have eight teams left. Some of which are, I can't believe, are here. The Celtics, in no particular order, the Celtics, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Pistons, the Spurs, the Wolves, the Rockets, and the Knicks.
So are we adding a new tier, or are we putting them all in the Seahawks tier?
You tell me.
So I would add a new tier, and I would put – so the S tier, I guess, would be the – so – in one tier would be, I would have
Oklahoma. Go from the top down. The top tier has to be OKC.
The top tier is OKC, Denver, New York.
Sean. Really?
These are the teams I think can win the NBA
championship. No. So we're going with the question mark tier for those three teams. So Thunder, yes.
Yes.
Nuggets, yes.
I think these are true blue title contenders.
So the New York Knicks with the currently 16th ranked defense in the NBA.
Yes.
Who can't stop a five-man unit that is getting run in on a Saturday morning at the Y.
Denver's right 21st for what it's worth.
Don't talk about defensive rating and then have Denver up there in God territory. Because Denver won a chip. The Knicks are trying to mimic the blueprint of the 2023 Nuggets. 15th, amazing offense, middle of the pack defense.
15th ranked defense that year. Knicks again, currently 16th.
And I will once again ask: is this what we think they can be, or what they are now? Because
it's a combination of those two. Okay. It is where we think they are going to be What we think these teams actually are this season. Like, the Knicks are struggling right now. We're not grading based on where they are right now. Obviously, they're playing really like shit right now. They don't have Josh Hart right now. They've been playing a million games in a million different cities, and they're gassed. That's not how we should be grading the Knicks. We should be grading the Knicks on what we think they can be, which is why it's not crazy to put them in the top tier.
Yes, put them in the top tier. Put it to you like this. I think the NBA champion will be one of these three teams: New York, Oklahoma City, Denver.
Okay. If we're putting New York in that top tier, Naomi, put the Knicks up top. I'll Debbie Downer will relent. I'll back down. Can I give you the list of teams that are currently in the top 10 in both offense and defense in the league?
This is your podcast. You can literally do whatever you'd like.
Yeah, but I need you guys to rein me in. The Pistons, the Wolves, the Spurs, the Thunder, and the Rockets. AKA four of the five teams that we have remaining. Traditionally, top 10 offense, top 10 defense means you are a true blue contender. So let's go one by one. And who knows? Maybe we won't wind up needing this extra tier. Tell me why the Rockets should not be in the top tier.
So as you were saying that, I said to myself, you know what? The Knicks, I can't hold other teams, quote unquote, glaring flaws against them and then completely overlook the Knicks, quote unquote, glaring flaw. All right? Like Houston, you can make the argument that Houston and the Knicks are on the same level because of, I don't think Houston's going to title for a specific reason, because I think they're the 2024 Knicks, the 2025 Knicks, but I can't look past the fact that the Knicks are getting barbecue chicken broiled at the point of attack and just ignore it, like, oh, it's no big deal. So
the Rockets may be the 24-25 Knicks on... No, sorry. You're thinking of the 23-24 Knicks.
Yeah, 23-24.
The Rockets may be the 23-24 Knicks on offense. Shout out, by the way, to a gentleman by the name of Kevin Durant, who at 37 years old is very, very, very he's not very close. He is 50-40-90 right now. Actually, no, he's at 89.7% from the free throw line. So he's very close to 50-40-90. He's done that twice already in his career. They're the sixth ranked defense in the league. I'm sorry, the 23-24 Knicks were not a great defense. They were a good defense. They were not a great defense. So that's, and again, all due respect to that team, which I love like a third child. I think this Rocket team has a bit of a higher offensive ceiling.
They do, because if you compare them to the 2024 Knicks, I mean, they're similar in the sense that, like, they don't take a lot of threes. They get a ton of offensive rebound. They get a ton of rebounds. They kill you in the boards. All about rim protection. They're tough. And they have this one guy who's their offensive engine. Now, Houston's is better than New York's. So, to your point, the ceiling's a little bit higher.
Okay.
But they're in a similar mold.
Okay, Rockets.
The ceiling thing, because I think the 3-point shooting is going to be the ultimate equalizer.
Which for the 23-24 Knicks, what we said all year, they don't take, well, even last year's they don't take enough threes. They don't take enough threes.
These 25-6 Knicks are better than that T-board offense.
Yeah. So
I'm just saying. Like, I get it, and I know John is going to take the path of least resistance when it comes to the criticism and whatnot with the Knicks, and I respect it. I'm saying from a holistic point of view, I want to see these two teams play, and I want to see them play at full strength, because
I would love to see that.
Steven Adams and Mitchell Robinson would be my Deontay Wilder, Tommy Fury, you know what I'm saying, or Joshua Fury. It'll be my Joshua Fury on the boards. I think there's more. Especially now that the Knicks are discovering, oh, shoot, we could play a bench and these guys are actually can contribute. I can see why you can argue either way is what I would say. But you can't argue the net rating that the Rockets have right now in the league.
There is no team in the league that takes fewer three-pointers as a percentage of their shot diet than the Houston Rockets. And yet, they are third in the league in three-point percentage, which is just a fascinating dichotomy, and it really brings to the fore the question of what is more important, to take threes or to make threes. And their offensive rating, again, at press time, third in the league, would seem to suggest that it is more important that you make threes. But
I wonder, but again, if we're looking at the 24, if we're looking to compare us to the 24 Knicks, part of the reason why that Knicks team, which had like the seventh best offensive rating in the history of the league to that point, was because they got a ton of freaking rebounds.
Yes, they did.
Right. Yeah. Now, to your point, I don't think that this Houston team is like taking a bunch of threes, but getting the rebounds off threes and then getting second and third chance opportunities to make them. To your point, they take the least amount, so they're super efficient. Maybe they're just getting getting wide open looks, probably because they play of number seven. I say that to say this. I think the Knicks and the Rockets should be in the same tier, whether it's in the Seahawks tier or the newly created S tier. I don't know, but they should be in the same level.
Well, the Rockets, to their credit, are eighth in the NBA in effective field goal percentage. They're in a virtual tie with this year's Knicks, who are ninth, but those teams are neck and neck. Another team that we have yet to talk about, or we've mentioned briefly, and that we're trying to decide here, the Detroit Pistons are 18th in effective field goal percentage, built like Houston, also don't make, you know, a whole lot of shots, but they're not the offensive rebounding juggernaut that Houston is. Frankly, I don't think they're the defense that Houston is. So to me, I kind of feel like the Pistons are almost like the poor man's Rockets. So here's what I'm going to propose. Rockets go in the top tier. Pistons go in the tier below.
Agreed.
Celtics, I know, I respect what Jaylen Brown's doing. I respect their offense. I respect all of it. I cannot put the Rockets or the Celtics in the top tier right now. They have to be in the Seahawks tier for me.
I agree. I think Houston should be OKC, Denver, New York, Houston, and the rest of these teams go below them.
Should we not? Between the Spurs and the Wolves, who do you think has the better argument for the top tier?
Wow.
Or you could say neither has any argument.
I think if you're putting San Antonio in that top tier, you're moving all your chips to the middle of the table that Wemby will be able to transcend and cook in the playoffs. I think what San Antonio has done without Wemby has been phenomenal. I'm not sure that would be able to carry them to a championship run. I don't know that, but the way they feel about the Thunder at this very moment, they may welcome that series. And then who knows if that's a semifinals match, that might, bode negatively for them as opposed to if it was a finals match. I think with the Wolves, the fact that they're both in the same conference is what mucks this up for me a bit, because I do think it's going to be heavy matchup dependent.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Wolves have a more cohesive team. I think San Antonio right now, they're building towards that, but they also are heavy. Like, nobody's going to believe that they can go on a finals run without Wemby. So if you are going to give Minnesota the title of saying, hey, they can be championship contenders, to Sean's point earlier, if you want to put Minnesota up there, San Antonio needs to be right behind them.
You got dinged again talking about.
Oh man, they said I have virulent takes. That's crazy.
That's actually what. That's great.
Oh man,
that's virus take alert.
Right, VTA.
All right.
But yeah, so I don't know that I would consider. I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota got back to a third straight conference finals because they have the formula and they have Anthony Edwards. Would I be shocked if San Antonio made the conference finals? I think it's more so dependent on who they play. Sounds like a cop out, but I think it's more dependent on who they. I think Minnesota doesn't want to run into OKC in the semis. I think San Antonio does. So what? I don't know what that says.
I don't know that San Antonio should care who they play. I completely agree with you, Jeff. I think it's a really good take. All right. Rockets top tier is final answer, Naomi. So we're gonna move these. Okay, Rockets top tier, Celtics tier below, Pistons tier below, Wolves tier below.
Yep.
And we could do Spurs tier below, Seahawks tier.
So what would be your argument, John, to put them in the title tier?
The Spurs?
Yeah. Would it just be you, Wemby, that's it? Or
the guy that I saw against the Knicks, whatever it was, 6 days ago, 5 days ago? Knicks have been playing too many games. That guy looked like the best player in the NBA. With how much I've been watching Jalen Brunson for 3.5. I've never seen Jalen Brunson afraid to shoot the basketball before. He just didn't want to put it up. And so if he's the most impactful defender in the sport by a healthy margin, and he could be one of the 8 best offensive players in the sport. Is that crazy?
So that's like the HGH fueled version of the Giannis and Milwaukee being in the Steelers tier then.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what. And the fact that with Milwaukee, it is really HGH fueled because Milwaukee has a couple of nice pieces. Like, I didn't shout out AJ Green. He's another one of those guys in that group that I was talking about who are at least +4 on offense and defense. You know, and they have a couple of guys, but like the freaking Spurs, Fox, Vassell, Castle, you know, Barnes is playing well. Like, you know, Cornette had, I think, led them in scoring their last game. Like, they have all of these freaking guys. Dylan Harper, you know? I mean, they're just crazy deep. Oh, Champagne. How can I talk about guys I shouldn't forget? Like, the Knicks freaking forgot about him on
yeah, because when you do, he kills you.
Goddamn possessions.
He's playing anybody else but the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, if we were, like, again, the same similar question to Miami question from a little while ago. If we're sitting here and it's game one of the finals and the Spurs are in it, are we sitting here like flabbergasted?
You know what I'd say to that, Sean and John? Clearly the Thunder deserve to be in that S tier, but would you put the Thunder killer in the West in the S tier as well? Because that's what the Spurs are looking like right now. They're looking like Thunder Hunters. What do you call them? Storm Chasers? They're looking like Storm Chasers right now.
I think they should. I think we've made enough of an argument that we can move the Spurs up. Sean, do you vehemently disagree?
I vehemently disagree.
Jesus. Okay.
Because styles make fights. And just because the Spurs can beat this one team doesn't mean they can win 3 rounds. So, like, yes, it's. I understand everyone's like, well, they can. Listen,
why?
If all the Spurs had to do to get to the finals was play Oklahoma City in 7 games, yes, I'm with you. But would they beat the Rockets?
They could.
But it's not fait accompli.
I don't think any.
And also, young teams don't usually win, and they're young.
That's your argument.
That's really my biggest argument. Yeah.
To go from outside the playoffs to winning the freaking title, which is what this S tier is. It is teams that can win the title. Mm-hmm. That's your argument. And I've never seen a team go from out of the playoffs to all the way. A young team. Again, yes, the 2008 Celtics are a different animal. That was its own thing.
Yes. And I think that the fact that young teams don't win holds more weight to me than they beat Oklahoma City 3 times in 2 weeks. Because
that's a very good point, because I know of a team who famously did not beat any of the top teams in the league last year. And they would have probably been chilling with Carolina at some point, or maybe in Pittsburgh. And then the playoffs happened. The playoffs happened. That was my overall. If we're going to say, hey, we shouldn't base it off of just one team, right? Then I do think, it's once again a coin flip for me, but I will say if we're saying it's matchup dependent, then I think Minnesota and the Spurs should be in the same tier wherever they are.
Exactly.
And if there's an argument to say the Spurs should go up and let's say the Knicks go down, then I could just turn around and say, hey, I know y'all don't think it counts, but I watched that team walk them boys down in the cup final. And look like one of the best, and look like the best team in the league that night. Point where even the biggest hater were like, yo, we can't say nothing no more.
No, they did.
And this is why tears are awesome.
Okay. Sean, congratulations. You won out.
It's the only thing I'm going to win this week.
Did we get any Harbaugh news yet? Are you expecting Harbaugh news at any point today?
No, they're going to. No, that'll be a. That's going to be a long decision. Although I did see Justina Anderson reported that there may be a coordinator change on the horizon, which would be the defense coordinator, Zach Orr, who, listen, never giving a rookie defensive coordinator job while you're a Super Bowl contender, is ridiculous. But no, I think if there's any change, it's going to come weeks from now.
I wish you luck in that endeavor. Any other thoughts before we get out of here?
Can you take Joe Shane with you? Maybe.
Can I just say, I miss football sometimes. I enjoyed watching football. I liked being a football fan. I was I used to be really into fantasy. Obviously I was into the Steelers for most of my lifetime. There has never been a moment where I was happier not to be a fan of a specific team than when I heard that the Giants won yesterday and went from the first pick in the draft to
seventh.
Whatever it is, it's six or seven, whatever it is. I would if I was a Giant fan, I might that might be the thing that would have gotten me to be yeah, I'm out.
I mean, listen.
So it's they're fifth.
Listen.
Which whatever.
This is not basketball. The Giants are in the very enviable position of having a top five pick and not needing to take a quarterback. Okay. Now, what one could say, and shout out to my man Ali, will say that the closer you are to the top, the easier it is for a team desperate for a quarterback to trade up and trade you a bunch of picks. And this draft has 1.5 quarterbacks. So. I understand why you'd feel a certain type of way. Although I remember Jets fans feel apoplectic when they beat the Rams and that cost them the first pick in the draft, which was cost them Trevor Lawrence. And listen, Trevor Lawrence looked good this year, but I mean, it's been a bumpy. That wasn't exactly John Elway that they missed drafting.
Yeah, I guess not. All right. Well, I'm happy. I'm not a Giants fan. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. Very quick recap. Bottom tier, Ravens, Wizards, Kings, Pelicans, Pacers, Jazz, Mavs. The Panthers tier, Hornets, Nets, Blazers, Grizzlies, Bulls, and Hawks. My beloved Steelers tier, Raptors, Clippers, Warriors, Bucks. What a sad tier that is. Bills tier, Heat, Lakers, Suns, Cavs, Magic, Sixers. Seahawks tier, Celtics, Pistons, Wolves and Spurs. And then the top tier, which doesn't have an NFL representative because there is no true favorite in the NFL right now, with all due respect to the Seahawks, Thunder, Nuggets, Knicks, and Rockets. And that's it. That's all she wrote. This is fun, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really dope.
We'll do it again. I think our next one of these particular episodes should be the Monday after the trade deadline to kind of reassess where things are at after all of the trades are made. But we got a lot of time until then. And by the way, I was thinking about this. Anytime there's going to be trades starting to happen in the NFL, in the NBA, I was going to say the NFL, in the NBA, check here on NBA Takedown, because if there is a trade, you are likely to get some sort of an instant reaction from at least a couple of us. So that is why it is so important. Put NBA Takedown alerts on YouTube. We are continuing to climb well over 2,000 subs there now. And we appreciate everybody who's helped make the show a success so far. Sean, I got your last word. Jeff, anything before we go?
Nah, man. Thank you all for watching. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. Sean has one more word.
I have a story to tell.
Please.
To take us home.
Take us home.
I was at my parents' house last week, helping my mom out with some stuff, whatever. And I saw my father poured himself a white rum, and it looked like he was mixing with milk, which happens in Jamaica a lot. Like, my grandfather used to mix overproof white rum with milk, but it was eggnog. And I was like, oh, you have eggnog? And he was like, yeah. I was like, you know what? I'll take one. Still the holiday season, whatever. So he's like, all right, it's in the fridge. So I go in the fridge and I grab the eggnog. I open it to pour it. As I go to pour it, I catch a whiff of it, and it just didn't smell right. And I was like, so I look at the date. What date do you think was on the eggnog? And I saw that this was last Friday, so this was January 2nd.
December 2nd.
I'm going to go with December 17th.
John's close. December 15th.
That it expired?
It expired December 15th. And I said, Dad, this eggnog has expired.
25 days. 23 days.
No, not 23. No, the 15th to the 2nd is 15, 30, 17. 17 days. 17.
Oh, you were drinking it on the 17th.
No, we're drinking on the 2nd.
Right, January. So I'm saying it was, you said it expired on the 15th or the 17th?
The 15th.
15 plus 16 is 31.
Yes. And then,
I just said, and
less than 20.
So I said, Pops, like, you can't, like, this is expired. And his response to me was, it'll be fine. The rum will take care of it. And you know who I thought of? One Jonathan C. Macri.
You know what? I have my eggnog from Christmas upstairs. I had a glass a few days ago. I checked the expiration date. It's January 6th. Today is January 5th. As soon as we are concluding this pod right now, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to pour myself a glass of eggnog for you, Sean.
And then when he said that to me and my mother both said the same thing to him, which is the same thing I said to you. There's milk in this.
The cow won't mind.
Well, make sure that you drink it before January 6th, or else there'll be an insurrection in your
state. That joke was right there. But I was like, I'm going to leave it alone. Listen, we're not going to go down.
You don't want turmoil in your tummy.
God.
Unrest in your intestines.
Let's hope the Knicks storm the capital of the auto industry tonight.
Oh my God.
Your stomach's going to be like Venezuela. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
On that note, everybody, thanks for checking.
Man. Oh,
another
man.
Episode of the
Cat's going to be in a tech fleece? That's crazy.
No, that'd be a good look for him. I could see that working.
And a sleep mask. That's crazy. This is insane. What is this world, yo?
Maybe that would improve their defense.
Well, you know what?
No, we're not. We're
already in off right the here. Pits of hell. Now we're in the upside down.
Thanks everybody for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. Thanks to our intern Naomi Ray, who was killer today, putting up the tiers as we were doing them. She rocks, as do these gentlemen, Jeff and Sean. I am John of the Macri. We will talk to you again soon. In the meantime, enjoy your week.